Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Let us read from the Gospel. Bible says, "Then he, Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again." Can I get a witness on that? That's a good part. Amen? Let me just try that again. "And after 3 days, rise again." Amen. Let's try that one more time. "And after 3 days, rise again." That's what I'm looking for. Praise the Lord. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Let me just tell you a little side note, not in my notes or anything. When it comes to conversations with our Lord, do not rebuke him. Amen? Amen. He's usually right. Can I get a witness on that? "Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he said to Peter, rebuking him, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" Oh my. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And then he called the crowd to him along with disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with holy angels." Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you're mighty, knowing that you're awesome, knowing that you have a plan for each one of us, Lord, knowing that you call us out of darkness and into light, Lord, and knowing oftentimes that we cannot recognize the path that you have for us, Lord, that we think our plans are better than your plans. That sometimes we want to correct you, Lord. We want to get you on our plan. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, as I found 20 years ago that my plan was headed nowhere. And perhaps there are some folks that are coming in, Lord, today thinking that they want to get you on their plan, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as I receive the wisdom, as Peter received wisdom, Lord, that we would all receive the wisdom to know that our plans are leading nowhere, Lord. We would sacrifice and surrender our plans and grab onto your plan and find fullness in our lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, there's a proud couple sitting over here. I don't know if you can see the Camacho clan back there without kids, but they had a young man on the pitcher's mound yesterday. Now, what's his team's name? The Padres. Well, I just grabbed this off the internet. It's not a picture of young Andon, who is how many years old? 8 years old, playing minors or majors? Caps. Oh, my, that's even before all that. And he took the mound. I got a call from Roki last week and said that he had taken the mound last week and that the results were not fabulous. And so we had a youth event, and thanks Scott and Pastor Paul, and I was there. Roki was there for a while. We had a nice youth event on Friday night. And Roki brought Andy down with a glove, and we started working on pitching motion and doing all that kind of stuff. And Pastor Paul was there. We're over there in the park working on all that good stuff. And starting pitcher was not Andy yesterday, but the starting pitcher hit two batters with the baseballs. Rule of the league: you hit two kids, you got to go. And in came Andy. 2.5. There's not really 2.5, but like 2 1/3 or 2 2/3. One of those. Scoreless. Struck out 2. I'm thinking maybe the Padres might have a new starting pitcher. Because I tell you what, Everybody loves a winner. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Jesus was coming into town. See, I'm making a shift here, coming to Palm Sunday. Follow me on this, right? Jesus is coming into town as a winner. He is a miracle worker. He has raised Lazarus just a few miles from Jerusalem, raised him from the dead. Amen? And everybody loves a miracle worker. Everybody loves a winner. And so as all the, they call them pilgrims because the Jews would come from all over the known world, down into Africa, into Europe, all over the Middle East, Iraq, Babylon, all those things, and come for Passover feast, one of the three major feasts of the Jerusalem faith, and it was feast time. It was time to celebrate, and the news of Jesus was spreading around. Maybe this Jesus was the Messiah, and just maybe this Jesus would come and finally get rid of all these Romans. They had hopes. They had dreams. They had plans for Jesus. How about you? You come here today, you have hopes and dreams? I'm sure you do. Maybe you come in here today with hopes and dreams for Jesus. Because we can all come in here with great things that we would like God to do for us. And sometimes we'll even bargain with God. God, if you'll do this for me, if you'll just do... I'm sure there were some prayers going up on that lottery. $640 million. Lord, just give me the lottery. I'll tithe on it. Oh, yes, Lord, I just want to win the lottery for the church. Yeah. You know, the Lord doesn't need lottery money. The Lord owns the planet. You know, we read this story about Peter. Peter wanted his plan to become Jesus' plan. Jews wanted their plan to become Jesus' plan. Jesus' response to Peter was a rebuke. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And I'm wondering what you have in your mind today. Your plan or God's plan. And I'm wondering today, if He speaks to your heart, are you ready to surrender your plan and grab onto His? Or are you wanting God to grab onto your plan? Because if you want to find victory, if you want to be a winner, you will find that victory as you surrender your plans to Him. Amen? That cry room back there is empty. Well, near empty. You can go back over there and cry your heart out, Gina. Or do backflips and do all that stuff. You'll hear me just quite fine, but that's all fine. You want to find fullness in your life? You will find strength in your life when you find surrender to our Lord. The title of today's message is Your Place in the Plan, Your Place in God's Plan. And I hope God's plan has a pivotal place in your life. Amen? Amen. Are we good? Are we good? Yes. All right. Bible says, now we're going to jump back to the text that we're reading about Palm Sunday. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. It is easy to praise God for what He has done. Amen? It is more challenging to praise God for who He is. Think about that for a minute. He said, they yelled out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Everybody wants great things from God. You want great things from God? It's okay to want great things from God. But the people were wanting God to do what God was not planning on doing. Sometimes God says no. Can I get a witness on that part? People were coming to Passover, and that blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord is a standard greeting as people were going to Passover. It was like a, hey, how you doing? Like a knuckle bust. That type of thing. It comes from Psalm 118, and it was a statement in expectations of the Messiah. They celebrated a king that was coming. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, which is even targeted more towards a Jewish audience, they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were looking for some stuff. And Jesus came in, as Pastor Paul talked about, riding as a king enters into a city, a royal entrance. And they knew what was going on, and they took their coats off. See Johnny back there with his coat on. Take their coats off and put it on the ground in front of Jesus' donkey. That's a big deal. You're going to lay your jacket in front of somebody's car? President Obama comes running down the street. You're going to put your jacket underneath his car? I don't know. Jacket would be dirty. I'm sure their jackets were dirty. What else they did was they put palm branches on the ground. And the palm branches were a sign of revolution. And they were hoping for revolution. Time to get rid of these Romans. And in their mind, they were thinking of a conquering king that would come. They look back to Hosea chapter 5, verse 14. I will be a lion to Ephraim. You heard of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah? Have you heard of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah? This is where it comes from. He says, like a great lion to Judah, I will tear them to pieces and go away. I will carry them off with no one to rescue them. And they're thinking, that's the guy that we need. We need that lion of the tribe of Judah to come and tear up these Romans and carry them off because we're sick and tired of living like this. There was great anticipation in Jerusalem. But they were missing the plan. Let's continue on. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept. Hardly the action of a conquering king. He approached Jerusalem and he wept. He wept over it and said, If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But it's hidden from your eyes. 30 years I lived my life hoping for peace, hoping for victory, hoping for strength. Hidden from my eyes. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. He came to Lazarus' house. Lazarus was dead. Mary came up to him and said, you could have saved him. And she was weeping, and he wept. Not for Lazarus, but for Mary. Because her focus was right. Her focus was on the Lord, but her expectations were all wrong. So he weeps for Jerusalem. Their focus was right, but their expectations were all wrong. They wanted somebody to come and fulfill their plan. Maybe you come in here today looking for the Lord to fulfill your plans, but he's looking more for people that would jump on board with his. It is a common fault, people that follow the Lord. The disciples who had been with him for 3 years, had seen his crucifixion, had seen his resurrection on Acts chapter 1. He is talking to them about receiving power from on high, about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they say, is it at this time that you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he says, no. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about equipping you for a life of victory and overcoming of power. And you're wanting me to do everything for you. He says, I need you guys to get on board with me. And stop trying to get me on board with you. So you're going to find victory in your life. You'll find it as you surrender to the Lord. These guys are always looking for the wrong thing. Jesus wept. My question is, Jesus weep for you today? Because you come in here focused on him, but with all the wrong expectations. My daughter has an appointment next week. She has had her driving permit for some time, 6 months now, something like that, 8 months. And it's like, oh, it's time, it's time. And she even was talking to me last week about getting her driver's. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah. And she's talking about when she drives to prom. I'm like, what? And she just is like thinking that this is just like a slam dunk. You know, it's like, hey, get on board with me, Dad. And I'm thinking, you know, we made a call on Friday. Our insurance is like $70 a month for Lisa and I in two cars. We put that wonderful child of mine on that policy. Good grades, never had a problem. It goes up to $250 a month. And you know, she says, but Dad, I'm going to save Mom so much time and so much gas because she won't have to drop me off and come back and forth. She'll have all this time. I'm just thinking, what are you going to be driving? You know, what, your mom's just going to be sitting at home while she's just cruising around in her car? See, I mean, her expectations are not at all lining up with reality. And sometimes we come to the Lord and our expectations are not lining up with what He's going to do. And we got to work it out. Amen? All right, point number two. Can you do me this favor? That's what Leanne's thinking. That's what the Jews are thinking. That's what James and John thought. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 37. See, we all want, many of us want God to get on track with us. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder. You know, Matthew tells this story, and he's got their mom coming up. Sons of thunders. Mom's going to come and ask Jesus a favor for him. They seem less than thunderous. Amen? We've had the youth here. I tell you, youth, don't have your mom come up and talk for you. I mean, they know that. Oh, don't. I don't even see with my mom. All right, here we go. They don't want to be seen with me either. But so I'm. Anyway, sons of Zebedee came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do this little favor for us. We want you to do whatever we ask you. And he says, what do you want me to do? And they said, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Seem a little bold to you? We often want God to meet our request. We often want God to work our plan. This is the Apostle John. Wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Wrote the book of Revelation. Can you give us some cuts, Lord? Can you help us out? Can we get some special treatment? And the treatment that they wanted, it's the only thing I could find. That's the Pope, okay? And you got the two guys, one on his right, one on his left. They're probably like big wig cardinals, okay? I don't know that much about Catholic hierarchy, but I got to imagine those two guys sitting next to the Pope got some power. Can I get a witness on that? And that's what they're saying. That's what we want in heaven when you're up there. We want to sit on your right and we want to sit on your left. Can you hook us up? And it seems rather selfish. Seems rather small. Seems kind of like cutting in line. No cuts, man. No cuts. Kind of drops James and John down a notch. Doesn't it? They're trying to finagle Jesus. But many of us come and try and finagle Jesus. Can you do me this little favor, God? Can you help me out just a little bit here? A favor is when you ask somebody to do something that you aren't really owed. We call that grace in the Bible. Now, our Lord, our God is the God of grace. Gives you unmerited favor. Gives stuff for you that you have not earned. Amen? But so often we want Him.